Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, I'm excited to be joined by Zach McCambly, a pitcher in the Marlins organization. Zach, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Like I said, appreciate you having me on. It's another beautiful day, man. Another beautiful day.
Where are you at right now? Florida?
I was living in Jupiter for the past couple years because that's where the Marlins spring training complex is. We share that with the Cardinals in Jupiter there. But I actually moved back to Myrtle. I'm in South Carolina right now. I got an apartment out here, like right on the intercoastal. So just enjoying my time. You know, I got some family here. My father lives here. My grandparents live here. So just good to be back. Personally, I'm a big South Carolina guy. I've been it's basically like a home away from home for me.
Yeah.
I've been coming here my whole life, and I went to school here. So.
Yeah, because you said a beautiful day. I'm like, dude, it's I got snow outside my window.
Where are you at?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I was actually just – I was in Wisconsin. I was playing for the Beloit Snappers.
Yeah.
My first year. So my first year, yeah, I started – that was high. That's high A for the Marlins.
Yep.
And I was up in Beloit. Yeah, it's pretty cold up there. But I'm actually from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I know all about the cold, dude. Like, snow days growing up, delays. I mean, I pretty much just grew up in the snow. I'm from the Poconos, so that's where like a lot of people come to snowboard, ski, all that kind of stuff. But I always adapted more to like I wanted to be on like the warmer side of things. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, no,
I went down south for most of my things.
Yeah, I actually grew up in California, so this is like sort of still an adjustment and all that kind of stuff. So.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it's wow. It's wild, California, wildly what part? Different. Bay Area.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty dope, man. I've been to California one time, dude. It was for the area code games. You ever heard of those games?
Oh yeah.
My junior year of high school, I made the area code team. This was like before I was, you know, throwing any type of velocity.
Yeah.
But somehow I was able to go, and I didn't really get a chance to see much of California, as you'd expect. I was there for a baseball tournament. Yeah. But, yeah, man, California's dope.
What city was
cool
it
spot.
In? You remember?
Long Beach.
Oh, it's Southern California. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I grew up yeah, we were in Long Beach. I'm pretty sure the area code games is at Long Beach State, I think.
Okay.
I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure it's at Long Beach State. Good
yeah,
time, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's like 8 hours from where I grew up, which is crazy because California's yeah, so huge that the state. I grew up nine or so hours up north by, you know, San Francisco and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. But you mentioned Beloit, so I guess we'll just jump right into that. I mean, I've had a ton of guys on the podcast. Like I told you, I might be a Marlins guy now. They might be my new NL team. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm here in Wisconsin, so I cheer for the Brewers and all that, but everyone I've talked to who's been on the podcast from the Marlins organization, like I always, you know, like, hey, like, how was your experience in Beloit? Because I told Brian Hoeing, you know, shout out to him, made his major league debut this past season. I'm like, dude, you got to put in your Twitter bio, like, survivor, you know, like Beloit survivor, because like it was rough out there.
Yeah, so I mean, they ended up getting a new.
Yeah,
stadium,
and it's nice.
Which I wasn't there for. I unfortunately was not there for that. I was called up to Double A right before they moved stadiums. But when I first got to Pullman, dude, like when we first got there, like we just left spring training, like we're getting there, we're all getting like our living situation situated. And we show up to the field, and I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know. It looked like a Cape Cod field.
Okay.
Like a summer ball kind of feel for me,
yeah.
Which I thought it was dope. You know, I thought it was cool. And then eventually when the season got rolling, you know, they cleaned up the field and they made it more of like a professional kind of look. But I think they did a great job at, you know, that whole staff there, you know. I know they were in the process of moving, you know, stadiums and whatnot, but, you know, they did a great job. I had a couple great starts there. You know, not too much to do in the city of Beloit, but overall, good cheese curds.
Yeah.
Real good cheese curds. You know, you had Chicago not too far away. You had Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So, you know, I made my trips here and there. It was cool, but I would like to say I survived it too. You know, me and Brian were actually on that team together.
Oh, nice.
Me and Brian, that's my boy, man. Super happy to see him make his debut this past year, dude. That was freaking awesome to watch, man. He's such a great dude, great athlete. So we were going through it together in Beloit. So for us to be able to make it out of there, I mean, it's pretty dope. It was a good time, man. I got nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you have any funny Brian stories? Because like I'll have to DM him and be like, hey, I heard this the scoop from Zach.
Ah, man, I don't have too many like crazy stories, but we don't play basketball or anything, but you know, we went and shot around one day, like just shooting hoops, like obviously can't play like paper basketball and whatnot, but like just to see how like freaking talented he was at basketball, because I'm pretty sure he was like Mr. Indiana.
He was good, yeah.
Like pretty sure like 1,000-point scorer in high school, like could have went to go play in college easily.
I think he had offers, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think he told me that too. I don't know where from, but I think he obviously chose the correct route in baseball, because to see him up there now is absolutely incredible. So, but honestly, not too many stories. Just typical teammate stuff, man. Like just going through it together, going through that grind together, man. It's like, it's a different relationship than you have with other people, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's kind of get into your background stuff. Actually, you know, let's talk about this. How did you meet Cole Newell from CN Pitching? Because obviously I had him on. He's kind of shouting you out, you know. So kudos to you for doing what you do and stuff. But like, how did you get in contact with him?
Dude, Cole is the man, first of all. I know we talked about that already. Yeah. But so he lives in Pensacola. I think 40 minutes from Pensacola. I'm not sure the exact town or whatnot, but I remember seeing him. I was working on a changeup, man. I've always been like a pretty big spin guy, curveball, fastball, cutter guy. And I could never figure out the changeup. And he had this Instagram following I saw. I came across his page one day and I sent him a DM and I was like, dude, like, I really appreciate all your content, bro. Like, it's actually helping. It's actually useful. Like, I'm glad I've actually come across something where I can actually use it in my day-to-day work. And he DM'd me back and was just like, dude, so happy to see that. So happy to hear that you're playing for Pensacola. So I got him tickets. So fast forward, I got him tickets for him and his girl. And they came and showed love the first time. You know, we met, talked after the game, after my start. And then from then on out, we developed this like relationship, and he came to a couple more of my starts. You know, I send him video. We talk about baseball. I wouldn't say every day, but like we talk maybe once or twice a week, maybe even more than that.
That's crazy.
Just going back and forth on baseball stuff, man. So that's pretty much how I met Cole. I never knew him before that, but I just shot him a DM and it just went from there.
Yeah, no, he's good people, and like just the interactions that he has, just me and him, honestly, like he's just really open and outgoing and able and willing to like help anybody out, which is pretty cool.
He knows his stuff. That's also the other thing. Like he does know what he's talking about. Sometimes you come across people that, you know, maybe they don't know what they're talking about as much, but I believe, just in my experience and who I've talked to and who I've been around, I feel like he actually does appreciate the game and he knows.
Yeah.
He knows how to improve certain players. That's why I think he's going to I think he's going to take off one of these days.
Oh, like, and he already is. I mean, just looking at his Instagram, like he's blowing up everywhere. He said that you guys
absolutely blown up.
He said that you were working on something nasty, which is his quote. What are you working on this offseason?
Oh, dude. I mean, I already have like this curveball thing, but really I'm working on like a real nasty cutter, man. I've always been able to really spin the baseball.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't start throwing a changeup until I got to Double-A baseball. So like high school didn't need it. College didn't need it. Then I got to High A. I started seeing like, okay, I can incorporate this a little more, but I didn't really notice it until Double-A. And then that playing field got like super even. And then I was like, okay, guys can time up every fastball that you throw pretty much, unless you have insane command with every pitch. So got to get them off it a little bit. But in terms of what Cole was talking about, I'm developing this cutter this off season. I've been at it pretty much all off season. And I'm trying to, you know, just have more stuff to throw at guys, you know, give them more looks.
No, for sure. And like you, you've been pitching well for the Marlins and all that kind of stuff. You've been a starter for most of your career, right?
Yeah. So I've been I've been back and forth. I've done both. In college, I did a little bit of both, but for the most part, I've been a starter pretty much my whole life. But to be honest with you, I'm really just more of a competitor than anything. I'm trying to you know, move up the ranks, get up to the Marlins team so that I can like help them win for real, you know?
Right.
I don't care what role that is. I more just care about getting up there. Now, I do believe I'm a starter, but like I said, a changeup is tough to throw, man, especially because guys have been throwing changeups their whole lives. Yeah. You know, I didn't start throwing it until this last year and a half. So, you know, just working on it, man. Just it's a work in progress. A lot of ups and downs with starting. It's definitely a tough thing to do. But it's fun, man, dude. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, so out of relieving and starting, you would prefer to be a starter? Because I've talked to guys like, dude, I want to be a reliever. I just want to go there, let the arm eat for like an inning or so, and then just be done.
I will say that is nice, but it's just something about being able to put the team, not necessarily on your back, but like those are your guys. Like you're going out, like you're in charge of everything when you're a starter. Like you're going out there, you're controlling the game. Like, you know, you're fighting for those eight guys behind it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, that's what I enjoy about it. I like being like, not in charge, but feeling like a leader almost. Yep. Not saying that when, as a reliever, when you come in, you can't have that same type of dynamic when you come in, but just in terms of like leading up to the game and knowing that you have to go eat most of these innings, that's what I enjoy about it.
But I respect regardless, that.
Regardless, I mean, I'm trying to take care of my family, man.
Trying to get to the majors too. Like, I'm
trying to get to the majors, man. So, I mean, whatever I can do to you know, get up there and do that, I'm committed to it. So
no, I feel that. And like whenever you do make that major league debut, and like hopefully it's like ideally it's right here in Milwaukee, so I can go, because I'm only 40 minutes from the stadium, bro. Like, I'll be there.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. Wherever it is, man, it'd be sick, dude.
Yeah, I went to go
Milwaukee's
see.
Milwaukee's dope, though.
Yeah,
I went to, speaking of Milwaukee, just real quick. Yeah. I went to Milwaukee. I took a little trip there, dude. Super dope place.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot. I went to see Brian Hoeing and Jake Fishman. None of them got in the game because Sandy Alcantara threw a complete game. So I was like, whatever. If he's pitching, I'm like, they're not gonna get in the game. But I still went out there, got to meet them, talked to them for a bit toward the end of last season. So that was pretty cool. So if you ever get out here, definitely gonna have to meet up and stuff.
For sure, man. No
so
doubt.
Let's get into your background stuff. So when did you start playing baseball? And when did you realize, like, dude, I'm kind of nasty?
man, I played baseball. I've been playing this game since I was probably four. That's probably where most professionals would tell you.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years old is when they started. I don't know. Some will tell you 3. I don't know. But I've always just gravitated to it. I played 3 sports. Well, two sports, football, baseball, pretty much. Real heavy growing up my whole life.
What was your football position? Oh, quarterback. Okay.
I was a quarterback. So I always had the ball in my hand. I was always throwing. I was always, you know, growing up in my travel teams, growing up in Little League, I was always one of the bigger kids. We had 3 Zachs on my like Little League team. And I was Big Z. We had a smaller guy was Medium Z. And then we had another guy who was Little Z.
That's crazy. So
there was 3 Zachs and I was the Big Z. And I was always one of the bigger kids. Even through high school, was always one of the, you know, one of the bigger kids. I actually didn't start to become one of the shorter guys until I got to pro ball, because now everybody's like 6'5", who I spend my time with. Like, look at Brian.
Yeah.
Brian's 6'5". I mean, I don't know about Fishman, but I know Brian's a big guy. But, yeah, just growing up playing all different sports, staying athletic. I wasn't able to throw a curveball until I left Little League, so I was all fastballs. And then going into high school – played JV my freshman year, and then sophomore, junior, senior year, 3-year starter. Committed to Coastal Carolina when I was 15.
15?
They came in. Yeah, I was 15 years old. They came and Gilly came to watch me pitch up in New Jersey.
So that was after your freshman year, then.
After my freshman year, so I was going into my sophomore year,
dude. So
I think I was throwing. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
I think I was throwing like 88. Topping out at 88 as like a sophomore, 89 maybe, and they just liked the projectability, I guess, because I was young.
Yeah.
So yeah, was getting like all this attention from all these schools pretty early because I was playing for this travel team called Baseball U.
Okay.
And Baseball U is Northeastern. It's Baseball U, Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And I pretty much played for them my whole high school career. They were out of Scranton, PA is where I played mine. And I would take all the perfect game trips with them and go down and, you know, show off in front of a bunch of scouts trying to get, you know, a scholarship.
Yeah.
And then eventually I always wanted to go to Coastal because my father lives here in South Carolina. My grandparents also live here. I've been vacationing here since I was young.
What other schools were interested in you?
So Coastal, Virginia, St. John's, Elon, Virginia Tech. I had a lot of schools down the East Coast pretty much. No West Coast schools really. Just a lot of East Coast schools.
Were you taking college visits and stuff?
I took two college visits, but I knew I always wanted to go to Coastal. Like I didn't even visit Virginia and St. John's or anything. Like I knew I wanted to go to Coastal. And this was before they won the national championship. So I wasn't like trying to go to Coastal because, oh, they just won this national championship, because that's what a lot of kids, it's more on the map now. Yeah. Coastal wasn't on the map as much as they were, as they are now. So yeah, dude, committed there. And then the draft was approaching my senior year. And, you know, and my head coach ended up, you know, I got blessed with a full ride scholarship to come to Coastal Carolina for 3 years. And, like to take me away from the draft out of high school. I knew I was never going to go, but I wasn't ready. Yeah. I had to come to school, get more mature, you know, become older, learn how to do things on my own. And then went to the Cape my sophomore year after I struggled all year. I struggled all year my sophomore year at college.
What do you think it's like attributed to that though? Like your struggles?
I think I was trying to find out myself, trying to figure out. I was still young. I was just a thrower. In high school, you know, I just had potential. I got to college, had a pretty good freshman year. And then my sophomore year, they gave me the Friday night spot. So I was the Friday night starter my sophomore year. So I think I just let a lot of pressure build up on me, honestly, like just wasn't ready for that moment yet. Didn't know myself as a pitcher, didn't have any type of routine. So had a pretty bad year, bounced back from the bullpen and Friday night guy all year, went to the Cape, reinvented myself, switched my mindset, went stupid in the Cape, did really well for my time there, got on the map again, showed up during COVID or during that 2020 fall, had a really good fall.
Dude, you were balling out then, too.
But yeah, was playing really well. And then, you know, spring came and then COVID happened, but I was doing well to start the year off. Looking back on it, I still wish I could have got to finish that year, man. I mean, COVID just sucks, dude. I mean, we flew all the way to Louisiana, and then COVID just happened, and then season just canceled right there.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, and then I just had to just get prepared for the draft. It was crazy. Like, season ended, like, 5 starts in my junior year. Season ended, prepare for the draft. Didn't know if I was going to get called because it was only a 5-round draft.
Yeah, and I've talked to guys who were in that draft and guys who went undrafted who were signed as free agents after that draft, and the pressure just being, you know, a 5-round draft, and a lot of teams were picking people to save money, not necessarily where they would normally pick them. It's just a weird ton of like different like aspects going into the whole drafting.
It was a way different dynamic than what it was in the past. I mean, I don't know how many rounds it used to be, like 40, like 40 rounds or something like that.
Yeah,
I think
it was
now
a ton.
It's 20.
Yep.
I think now it's 20. I mean, I get, you know, it kind of screwed a lot of people during 2020 in that draft. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a couple people personally that didn't get called because of, you know, the circumstances of that draft and, you know, how the teams had to save money and stuff. But I'm like super blessed that I was able to, you know, get out. I was at Miami, super happy that they picked me in the 3rd round there. It was definitely like a crazy relief off my back.
Were you expecting to get drafted? Because I know, like, I mean, it's with the weird, like, where were you expecting to get drafted that year?
So I was told leading up to it, the fall after my Cape season, and then going into the fall and then the spring, I was told I was, if I play well, I could get between rounds 2 and 5. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go in the 1st round. I knew that already. but rounds 2 to 5, like late second round, mm-hmm. and then through the fifth round. So when Miami called, I think I had a couple teams call late second round, early third round. And then when Miami called, you know, they had their offer, and, you know, my agent called me and we put it in and then watched the TV.
Yeah.
And then, dude, I can't even really tell you what happened next. Honestly, I don't necessarily remember everything because it was just like, I kind of just blacked out almost.
You got it on video?
You work towards something. Or no? I do have it on video. All right, cool. I do have it on video. I'll get it to you.
Yeah.
It's a real dope video, man. I had my draft party at my dad's bar here. He closed the bar. So, we had like 50 people there, private party. And it was just a beautiful day, man. It was a beautiful day for me and my family. Like I said, like you work towards something your whole life, like all the sacrifice that your parents mm-hmm. make, you know, driving you to, you know, all these different tournaments and buying you all the gear and stuff. And it finally like pays off to where what you wanted, you know, but you also know at the same time that it's just the start.
Yeah, it's a whole new beginning.
It's a whole new beginning. And I knew that right away. So I was ready to get to work right away. You know, there's certain people out there that think you made it already. But if you're in it and you know, a lot of people know you haven't made it yet. Mm-hmm. So, but in terms of getting drafted, that was always like the number one goal, get drafted, yeah. man. And it happened.
That's crazy. So you went to college or, you know, committed as a sophomore heading into your sophomore season. Like I would have been the cockiest kid getting committed and I was only 15 years old.
Yeah. Well,
were you just like that dude in your area?
I think if you talk to a lot of people around me, I would like to say that I went to high school with, I'd like to say that they tell you good things.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell you that I'm that cocky of a person, but in terms of like being the man around the area that mm-hmm. I was, I mean, I would say so for sure. I mean, there wasn't really too many people committed anywhere crazy. Don't get me wrong. I played with I have a bunch of friends that I played with back in the day. Great players, man. Like still playing to this day, still playing college, still doing their thing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of being drafted and stuff, I'm not sure. I wasn't always the greatest hitter. I mean, I hit leadoff. I was the leadoff hitter.
Dude, so in your senior year, you were 6-1 with a 1.70 ERA.
Yeah.
That's pretty nasty. And I'm not even a stats guy, but I'm like, dude, that's insane.
Yeah, like tons of – I had a real good relationship with my catcher.
Yeah.
And we were on the same page since we were young, man. Like it was insane. But, yeah, like as terms of the area, there was one guy that was before me, and his name's Mike Nicarak, and he got drafted – out of a town next to me in the first round.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. And back in 2015, but I don't know if he's playing still. I'm not quite too sure, but
yeah,
as far as professionals in my area, I believe I'm the only baseball player.
That's crazy.
So that's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to represent where I'm from, man. It's cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's pretty cool. In college and stuff, what was maybe your favorite college moment? Because you played at Coastal Carolina. Obviously, you were there for 3 years. You were the Friday starter, pitching, starting and relieving. But what was maybe like your biggest college moment where you look back and like maybe I was like extra locked in that day?
Man, I think my whole – I think the COVID season, honestly. I was so locked in after my bad sophomore year. I had such a bad sophomore year mentally. I was all over the place, man. Just young, not knowing how to deal with like failure yet.
Mm.
Like I didn't deal with any failure really in high school. I didn't really even deal with too much failure my freshman year in college. And then my sophomore year comes and, you know, guys have more scouting reports on you. Mm-hmm. You know, you come in as a freshman. Nobody knows who you are. You just come in and, you know, no one knows what kind of stuff you have.
Yeah.
Now going into your next year, it's how you make those adjustments to what they know about you already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would say just my best moments of college have to just obviously just being with my teammates like all the time. It's like one of the greatest experiences ever to be with a team in college and be successful because we won a bunch of conference mm-hmm. tournaments. We had a ton of success. I think we were going to have great success in 2020 if the COVID didn't happen. But I would say 2020, for those five starts, man, I was different locked in. And that was where I knew that I could tap into like real potential. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I knew that. That's when I knew like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can get to pro ball and, you know, I can make it. So that was when the mindset kind of changed.
Who's your favorite team to play against?
In college?
Yeah, in college. Like, who's your favorite team? Yeah, in college, who was your favorite team to pitch against where you're like, all right, I'm going to lock in, like, make sure, like, I'm just carving. Maybe the fans are extra cocky
conference,
or tripping a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to – I don't think anyone – I never had any experience like that in college, okay. I don't think. I've never had, like, the chirps, really. Not too crazy. Yeah, Sunbelt Conference. I mean, in conference tournaments, I would say Louisiana Lafayette.
Okay.
Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, yep. Man. We went down there to their stadium one time or twice. They hosted the conference tournament one year. Dude, that place was electric, man. Like all the fans like chanting constantly nonstop, like knowing our names. That's actually the one time I started hearing chirps and stuff, man. Like they knew like my girlfriend's name. They knew like all your typical, like they knew my mom's name. They knew everything about me. They knew my sister, like kind of crazy. But then what was nuts about it was after all those chirps, they fed us amazing. The fans like flipped a switch once the game was over. Like once the game was over, they were like welcoming us all like with warm arms, like welcome arms and like nice, like big food. Like it was amazing, like great Southern food. So like it was crazy to see like how it kind of like the on and off switch was like that. It was crazy. It was awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like I've talked to guys who like similar situation, right? They'll know everybody in your family. They'll like go through your Instagram, like just like start shouting out whatever they can, stuff like that. Fans can be ruthless.
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people in pro ball, like tell me I suck all the time, man. Like you hear that all the time from people. Like it's funny. You obviously learn to tone it out, but mm-hmm. it is funny sometimes.
Yeah. So you mentioned like failure in your sophomore year, and you hadn't really dealt with that before. Now that you're in pro ball and stuff, so obviously you're going to deal with that a ton more because that's just the way baseball is. What do you do to kind of like mentally stay strong during those times?
Yeah, it's hard, man. It is. I've been humbled a lot in this game. I've gone through a lot of struggles, a lot of ups and downs. I've been at the highest of highs, and I've been like super low. I think the best thing for me that I found is to just put it in God's hands mm-hmm. because it's already written. I feel as if I show up every day and I put in the work every single day, and I know it's cliche, mm-hmm. but like you get 1% better every day and you take it day by day. You know, failure is just going to happen regardless, but success comes with determination, I feel like. And that's kind of a Kobe quote. I took that from Kobe.
Yeah.
Because success comes with determination, because failure is always going to happen, man, especially in this game. Like, this game is insane. If you're not mentally tough, you're not going to make it in this game. And I'm not going to lie, there have been times where, you know, I've wanted to crack and I've wanted to, like, not necessarily give up, but, like, just stop, you know, because it gets rough, man, because, like, your life, like, when you've been working towards something your whole life, you know, and you want, and this goes with every player. I feel like every player feels this. They just manage it differently.
Sure.
And you know, I think it's just about showing up every day, regardless of what the outcome is. The last day, every day is a new day.
Yeah, that's so huge. That's so huge. Awesome. I'm gonna clip that and post that. But that can also be something for like younger players too, like younger kids trying to get drafted, trying to get signed, trying to get recognition stuff like in high school. Just growing a little bit each day and stop trying to like do it all in one big like day. You know, it's going to take small incremental steps to finally get to that where they want to go, right? That's so huge.
Absolutely, dude. It's all about 1% every day, regardless of the outcome of the last day, because mm-hmm. every day is a new day. Yeah. So
that's crazy. I love that. Hey, let's talk about the minors for a little bit. So what do you have any like interesting or funny minor league stories? Because I love talking to this. I talk to guys who've like had fans show up on the bus, just jumping on the bus, trying to take pictures and stuff. fans like sending like random like DMs and stuff like that? Like, do you have any funny like minor league stories or fan interactions?
Man, that's, I feel like I've had a ton. Well, Pensacola does a great job with like making it like an experience, like a minor league experience with like the Roach Run. What else do they do, man? Man, that's a great question, dude.
Maybe like bus broke down. Like, I've had guys like go into their motels and like they open the sheets like blood. You know, it's just like,
oh, okay. There was one hotel we went to. Wow, I don't even know if we went to a hotel. We were in Peoria. Is that Illinois?
Yeah,
I think it's Illinois, yeah, or something.
Is that high? I'm not sure.
Yes, high. Yeah. This is when I was in Beloit, man. We went to Peoria. I'll never forget this. We went to Peoria. I don't know what hotel it was, but we showed up and we went into the bathrooms. And we went into the bathrooms and we saw like 30 syringe needles just like in the corner of the bathroom in this hotel, in the lobby, yeah, of this hotel that we were staying at. So that happened. We saw that. We all got into our rooms, right? We all like were checking our beds and stuff, right? We found like roaches in our like freaking pillowcases and, yeah, stuff. We reported it. We moved hotels like immediately. We went immediately from like one of the crappiest hotels you can even think of to like one of the best high A hotels that you can think of. So like, I don't know if that's like a crazy story, but like,
no, that's pretty, dude, insane.
That's like,
though,
an experience. Yeah, that's like one of the experiences that you get as a minor league player.
Yeah, and people don't always recognize that, but that's just like the grind that minor league is, right? They always see like that finished product on the baseball, yeah, field, but not a ton of people kind of dive deep into like the experiences that minor leaguers go through, like getting to that level. Dude, absolutely, if I saw roaches, I would have been out in a heartbeat. Like, that is,
dude,
nasty.
We were out.
Yeah.
Dude, we were out right away, man. Like, I've never seen anything. That was probably the worst one we've been to. And I don't know what the scheduling was like there, but I mean, we moved, so it ended up being okay. But like, as long as we got out of there, man, you know, just, yeah, a crazy story. Just crazy what minor leaguers do go through. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. And it's getting better, kind of like with like the union and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be just getting better for minor leaguers. Hopefully, you're not there for too much longer. Like, so we don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I will say this: last season, I think had six of my guests go on to make their major league debut. So you're on the right podcast if that's your goal.
I'm on the right one, man. Let's go.
Like, you just gotta give me a little credit when the day comes. Be like, look, it all changged on December 12, 2022. Like, that's when the trajectory just started, right, cool, really.
Deal.
I'm gonna look out for that press conference and stuff. Hey, so you're a top 30 prospect for the Marlins, bro. Like, so when did you find out you're a top prospect? And like, do you ever look at that number like 22, bro? I should be like 2. Like, what's going on here,
dude? This sounds bad. I hate it. I don't hate it, yeah, but it's cool. It's cool, but to me, it doesn't mean anything. If that makes sense, like. All that is more of a target on your back, to be honest. Now, I try not to like look at that kind of stuff that often. I've seen it, obviously, because like when you first get drafted and it's like, whoa, like everything's so wide, like eye opening.
Yeah.
But as you go, it's like, okay, like you got to like perform. So it's like, I'm going to, regardless of what happens, take me off the prospect list, put me on the prospect list, I'm gonna do me regardless. Sure. So yeah, it's cool. It's definitely like something that's cool, you know. I just had a kid the other day send me a DM, and he got my card on the show.
Oh, nice.
And it was like one of the prospect cards, and I thought that was pretty cool. Cause I mean, I still play the show. I played the show growing up and stuff. Yeah. So now to like be in the game is kind of cool. And like to have a prospect card and everything, that's dope. But,
that's pretty sick.
Try not to look too much into it. Just try to do my thing, man.
Yeah. No, that's cool. What's up. No, that's a good mindset to have. Cause if you start looking at the number, you're like, all right, you know, like you start kind of feeling yourself a little bit, maybe.
Right. And then if you get out of the, and then like, if you fall out of it, it's like, oh no, now I'm not a prospect anymore. Like, dude, I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what's up. Does that kind of like change how like fans see you at like the ballpark and stuff? Like, are they just kind of, since you're a top 30 prospect, are they showing up with like binders of like your cards and be like, hey, you know, these older guys with like 30 of your cards, like, hey, sign these cards, you know?
Yes, but I will say that it's different degrees for different people. Like someone like Yuri Perez. Oh,
he needs a bodyguard, dude.
Yeah, my guy, I mean, people are just like treating him like a, yeah, like he's already one of those zoo, like he, yeah. He's like on that level now already, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I pretty much every stadium I've gone to, I've had people, you know, ask to sign, have my cards, I'll sign the cards. I had this one family make like a big printout of me, like some 3D thing. It was like, oh, I don't know, this big, and they had me sign it, and then they gave me one after I signed one, so like they made it for me, so I gave it to my mom and she thought it was super cool. That's so I dope. Thought that was like a cool experience, like to have fans is dope, man. Like you get a lot of mail from people who you can tell they'll just like copy and paste like what they're saying to every single person. But to be honest with you, I can tell when it's real genuine. And that's when I really enjoy being able to sign the card or being able to sign a ball for a kid. Cause it's like, they really enjoy, like you're really making that kid's day.
What's the funniest, cool, man. What's the funniest thing you've been asked to sign?
Funniest I've been asked to sign. A forehead. This little kid came up to me. I think it was in Pensacola, or it might have been Mississippi Braves. And he had a hat on, and I was like, and the whole team pretty much signed the kid's hat. But there was no space on the hat, and the kid was like, I don't have anything else. So he was like, here, sign my forehead.
Jeez.
So I was like, all right. So I signed the kid's forehead. Yeah. He took the picture of it, and that was it. But
it's pretty sick.
Other than that, nothing too crazy. Just kid's skin.
yeah. Hey, you mentioned Yuri. Like, how cool is it just watching him do what he's doing? Because that dude, like you said, he's like Marlins fans think he's like the second coming, which is like he's so hyped up and, you know, deservedly so. But like, how cool is it just seeing him on a daily basis, just watching what he does?
I had the pleasure of throwing every game after him this season.
Okay.
So I was the one that had to chart him. Hmm. Every game. So like I had to be locked in for every pitch he threw because I was charting. He is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Like absolutely the real deal. 19-year-old kid, tops out at 100, doesn't throw a fastball below 95. I've never seen a fastball below 95.
It's insane.
Throws every pitch for a strike, has a wipeout changeup. He's 6'9", and he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole recipe for a superstar, if you ask me.
Yeah, like I see Marlins fans like on Twitter and stuff, like they're just giving him so much love.
I mean, Sandy is obviously incredible. Oh, yeah. Guy is incredible, seriously. But I mean, for Yuri to be 19 years old and for him to be able to dominate double A competition, how he dominated this year, I mean, kid's 19, man. Like, who knows what I was doing at 19 in college.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that, for him to be doing that with us in double A baseball, like, he could have easily, I don't know about easily, let me rephrase that, but like, I think he could have went to triple A and
performed well.
Definitely been able to perform well, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't see, there's no doubt in his, like, mind.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's just out there, like, he's just a kid. He's 19.
Yeah, and he'll be in the majors by like 20. Like he's on that track where he's gonna be, and hit sure. Sandy and Yuri like sure. 1-2. Like that's gonna be like the Marlins have a ton of like talent. Like it's gonna be
lots,
like,
man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll see what happens.
All right, well, hey, let's end on this then, man, because I know you gotta get to your golf and all that kind of stuff. When you're not,
oh, dude, I forgot about that. I already forgot about that, man.
Oh, like how far sorry is about that? No, it's all good. Like how far?
Nah, you're good. We could do whatever. If anything, I'll push it back. No worries at all.
Right on. How was Yuri's English?
It got better. I was his roommate actually. We stayed in the same house. We spent like the whole summer together, pretty much. It's good. He understands real well. Like, he don't speak it real well yet, but in terms of, like, being able to communicate, like, no problems at all. And he's a great kid. He's funny.
Dude, I wish my Spanish was so much better because, like, I would get try to get him on.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I know, man. I know. But he – I don't know how much he would understand. I really don't. But he – it would be a great interview, though.
Yeah.
It would be a good kid, man.
If I find someone who's willing to translate, I might try to hop on that. Maybe I'll have you send him a message since that's your boy.
For sure. I mean, dude, I think we send DMs back and forth there and there. So, I mean, I got you, man.
Oh, I respect that. I'll hey, so when you're word, right on, when you're not pitching or golfing or whatever, like, what do you do for fun? Like, you talk about golf, you talk about gaming. Like, are you a big gamer, big golfer? Like, what do you do for fun?
So I game. I do the game. I just started playing golf, like, pro ball, like, when I got to pro ball. So, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I like to chill. You know, I like to go get good food. I like to go eat at good places. And I like to mind my business. That's pretty much what I like to do. I like to stay out of the way. I like to get my work in. Mm-hmm. You know, I get most out of my life when, like when I'm doing something baseball related, when I'm just getting off the mound or, like, I'm just something as simple as, like, playing catch, I get, like, an enormous amount of joy out of. So,
dude, I love – you're just a student of the game. Like, you just – like, the passion for game is amazing.
Yeah, I you know, I'm on YouTube a lot. You know who I watch a lot? Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja.
Yes, pitching ninja.
I pay attention to his interviews all the time, man. I'm always on the pitch grips, man. Like, what he's doing for baseball is amazing. Him, like, a bunch of guys, man. Like, I watch a bunch of guys. I watch all their pitch grips. Dude, I love to, like, analyze. I love watching baseball. Like, love it. I know a lot of people think baseball is real boring to watch, but me, I'll have baseball on my phone all season watching the big league teams play. Like, just – watching their pitchers, seeing what they're doing, like, everything. So I would say, like, yeah, I try to be the best student of the game as I can.
Are the Marlins in their organization, are they, like, super analytical? Because I know teams like the Rays, I think, like, they're pitching and they have, like, their pitching labs or whatever you want to call them. Like, are the Marlins pretty, like, high-tech when it comes to that kind of stuff or no?
I would say they're not as technical as, like, some other organizations. Like, the Rays, I'm pretty sure the Rays are –
top
real high up there with that. Yeah, like them, the Dodgers, like all those teams. I think what the Marlins are doing, though, is, like, they're starting to adapt to it more. So they're starting to open up to more of the idea of the technology and stuff, and, like, the slow-mo cameras and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we get all that information. But yeah, I mean, I would say that they're more of, like, a — how do I explain it? I don't know. They're more of just, like, a feel, like, in person, not as much, like, technology used type of, like, organization that, you know, which still works, but, you know, like I said, they're getting on the technology and just, they will. We're coming up. It's on the come up.
Are you a big, like stats guy? Like, do you look at all the, or analytics guy? Do you look at all that kind of stuff? Or are you more, cause you're talking about, like, pitching on feel and stuff like the Marlins do. Are you more just like, I know what I need to do, I'm just going to go out there and do what I got to do?
So I like to use the information that we get from the technology. I think that it's vital. I think you have to use it.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, yeah, like the technology, for me, I don't really pay attention too much to, like, all the numbers and stuff. I'm more of like, okay, if this feels good, like, this is the feeling I want to have moving down the mound. But I definitely think, like, the numbers help, like, knowing how you're spinning the ball. Like, if you spin the ball wrong, like, a Rapsodo or a TrackMan can just tell you that right away and you make the adjustment. So in terms of that, yes, I am into the technology and stuff. But again, like, I've always been, like, a visual learner. I got to be, like, doing it. And I think that's why, like, I get along pretty well with a lot of the Marlins guys, is because they're the same kind of way and they know that, you know, what they're telling me is not just going in one ear out the other. I'm kind of, like, soaking it in, and I'm trying to make improvements on the mound. So, yeah, I mean, I like it all, man. Just competing. At the end of the day, you're going out there to compete.
Yeah.
So whatever you have, just compete. And that's been the mindset.
Love that. So you talked about gaming. Like, what games do you play other than MLB? Are you a COD guy, Fortnite? Like, what do you
– I used to be big on Fortnite, man. I'm pretty good at COD. One of the best 2K players, 2K basketball, probably, like, around. Probably you've seen Madden, The Show, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, right now COD is taking over for me, though. Like, that's where I spend most of my time. Once I get done, like, with all my stuff for the day, throwing, lifting-wise, yeah, everything, I pretty much just hop on the game and just run it with my friends. So,
are you PlayStation? Keeps me out of trouble, man. PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox.
There you go. We might have to run it sometime then, because, like, I have...
Oh, you got it?
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't got the new game, but I'll Warzone it, you know?
Oh, dude. After we get off this, man, we'll have to get the name. We'll have to friend request.
Yeah.
Have to hop on there, bro.
Definitely. We'll definitely have to do that. Like, I actually like the last couple of months, I got back into Fortnite. Once they stopped the building, when they got rid of no build, dude, that's right in my wheelhouse. Like, I.
Facts. It definitely, you know, once they started doing like 90s and stuff with like the building and the editing, I'm out. Guys on computers.
It is a mouse.
I'm like, I can't do that.
Nope, but now that there's no building, but now that there's no build, dude, it's so much more fun for me, so I've just been carving. I'm serious, dude. Like,
I feel that, man.
Yeah, that's what's up.
All right. Shooting games, man, they're fun, bro.
They are. Stress, it relieves stress, so that's what I'm saying. keeps the people out of trouble, too. I will say this, man. Let me talk about this before we go, last thing. You guys won the championship, the Blue Wahoos, right?
Yeah.
How was that experience? Like, how hard did you guys go after it? Like what was the...
Dude, I missed it, man. I got hurt.
What?
Dude, I spent my whole season, man. I gave them 100 innings, man.
Yeah.
I had 100 innings on the year, dude. I was there from the start, dude. And we're the champs. So we won the first half.
And the second half.
We won the first half, which gave us an automatic bid
mm-hmm.
to the championship game. Or to the playoff.
Yeah.
So that whole second half, we had to basically like be on cruise control
mm-hmm.
leading up into the playoff. And then I hurt my shoulder. I actually got bicep tendonitis in the front of my shoulder towards the end of the year. And like my arm was just like shot. So I got a shot for it, went back to Jupiter for the last 2 weeks. And then I was supposed to make a recovery and go back to Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And then my rehab didn't go how I wanted it to go, and I actually freaking missed the championship series. Jeez. And the playoff, which sucked. But all the guys stepped in. They did their thing. We brought some guys up from the Beloit team.
Yeah.
And we still had that crew from the early on Pensacola team.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, it was freaking amazing. I wish I could have been there because they looked so awesome. But I was FaceTiming with them boys right after they won, and – it felt like I was there.
That's cool.
But I wasn't. But it was dope, dude. Like, it was great. I got my ring size, like my first ring. Like, can't wait, dude. It was an awesome experience. Like, we had such a great coaching staff.
Yeah.
The whole team, the trainers, like everything was perfect, man. It was sick.
Dope. And like, I've interviewed several guys who've been on there. Doc, Mincy, who else have I interviewed? I feel like I've interviewed a ton. Some of them are in Beloit still, but some of them, I think I've had like 6 or 7 Marlins guys on the pod. Like, I'm actually going to try to go there in Florida for spring training. That's the plan, dude. So like, if I'm there, like,
please, we're gonna, come, man, you'll see me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. We'll have to chop it up a little bit in person if I go out there.
Yeah, you'll find me there.
That's what's up. All right. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on the pod, Zach. I do appreciate it, taking time and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime. Shout out to Cole for kind of starting this kind of connection and stuff, but, we'll definitely squad it up sometime for sure.
Dude, absolutely, Francisco. Thank you for having me, man. This is a great time. I love talking it.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.